What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein here with the latest edition of Phillies Today, a series sweep edition of Phillies Today. We talked about last week how this was a really, really big stretch coming up for the Phillies here against, you know, some pretty bad teams. And you had the Pirates, the Rockies, the White Sox next. Obviously wasn't the best series against Pittsburgh, who, hey, they've gotten off to a really good start here after they got off to a really good start last year too, winning 20 games and then, you know, coming back down to earth. But off to a good start again here. The Phillies managed to split, but honestly got outplayed in that series. But they come back, they face a god-awful Colorado Rockies team, and they sweep them. It's just what they needed. They are now three games over the 500 mark, two back of the Braves in the division. We'll get into it. We'll get into how good this starting rotation has been as well, because, boy, they have been absolutely dominant, everything you could have possibly asked from them so far. But then we'll get into what individuals are struggling in this lineup, because this lineup is struggling. There's no doubt about it. As you know, Howard has said to Rod Thompson multiple times, they're struggling to slug here. So we'll get into that. We'll get into some other news from around the league as well that has to do, you know, with the Phillies, with the NL East, and just the league as a whole. So we'll hit it all. We're going to get to it. Want to jump in here and you know, get going on this. So start Monday night. Phillies come off a Pirates series where it was a pretty disappointing split. And the lineup just really could not muster up any legitimate consistency. Then you get to Monday, and it's the same thing. It's a lot of weak contact from guys, a lot of chasing out of the zone, especially against a guy in Cal Quantrill on Monday who had gotten absolutely hammered to start the season. Had an ERA, I think, over seven heading into that matchup. So, but like the story has been for much of the year so far, you're starting pitching that night, specifically Aaron Nola, bails you out and throws seven and a third really strong innings. Aside from the one mistake from the fastball to Folia that he left up in the zone and was only 91, I thought his command was awesome. He was getting ahead in counts. And again, ever since that Braves start, he just looks really dialed in. His velocity was back up to what it normally is. He's sitting around 92. I think the only reason it was down, it was at like 89 a couple starts ago. I think it was against Cincinnati. In that last start was because I think the rain was just so bad, which Rob Thompson and even Nola had said makes things difficult mechanically. It makes it difficult to kind of push off. It makes it difficult to grip the baseball. So just some, you know, tough stuff to deal with there. But and while Ranger Suarez, and I want to get to him more, I'm going to get to him a bunch here in a little bit. But while he's getting a ton of praise, and as he should, I've been so impressed with Aaron Nola so far. His ERA is back under 3.5. He's getting a ton of chases outside of the zone, especially on the breaking stuff. And I feel really confident with how he's throwing right now. So just good stuff from Nola, stuff you typically come to expect from him. I know he had the off year last year, but just really, really good outing against Colorado there from Aaron Nola. And it was just a really weird game overall. Offense could get nothing going against Quantrill, and then the Rockies bullpen, who's, you know, equally as bad, and just, you know, not a talented pitching staff there in Colorado whatsoever. And then you have that absurd play with Kyle Freeland pinch running because the Rockies have so many injuries. And man, if he got legitimately hurt on that, they said his shoulder, like, and I know it was his non-throwing shoulder, but it popped in and out apparently. Like, if he got legitimately hurt on that, that would have been brutal for the Rockies, who, I mean, he was their opening day starter, and you already got guys banged up, and you're already talent deprived as well. So just a ridiculous sequence there, but a great play by JT and Jeff Hoffman to apply the tag there as well. Just, again, not a play you see very often. I know they reviewed it for if it was an illegal block at the play, but I'm pretty sure when you have a play on the infield like that, you're allowed to block the plate in that scenario, and the ball was taking him in that direction anyway. So again, good stuff from JT, good stuff from Hoffman on that. Just one of those cool plays that you don't get to see very often. But later in that game, Sir Anthony pitches scoreless 10th, which was huge. Good to see him, you know, go out there and have a good outing. It felt like he had kind of gotten roughed up a little bit early on in the season. Probably was their least dependable right-handed option other than Ricardo Pinto. So just you want to get the 2022 Sir Anthony that we've seen, but it just feels like he doesn't really have that in his, I guess, bag right now, just in terms of the location of his fastball and things of that nature. But good scoreless 10th there, huge. It was definitely one of those games where you just thank God they won. And Pache comes through in the 10th with the big walk-off. But just it was ugly, but you'll take it, especially as you try to stack some wins here against them, you know, of the easier teams and non-competitive teams in terms of the playoff picture on your schedule. But moving on to Tuesday, much more encouraging game. They get to Austin Gomber early, another guy who just, quite frankly, is not very good. And good job by JT early on to get a pitch that he could handle and send it out to left center field there. Then Bryce takes over and gets the final three RBIs, including the two-run homer, which kind of seals it late. He's looking much more locked in at the plate. I think he's just had some tough batted ball luck early on this year. The batting average on balls in play has been really, really, you know, unlucky. But he's hitting balls hard. They've either been on the ground or right at guys. So it's good to see him have a nice game with some results there the other night. And to hit a homer out to right field was really nice to see from Bryce there. But this night was really about one guy, and I got to talk about him in depth here. Ranger freaking Suarez, man. How about him? What a start to the season for Ranger. And he caps off a great night by getting a second career complete game shutout. The first one for the Phils since Michael Lorenzen's no-hitter last year. He got 18 swing and misses, ton of soft contact, and as always, fielded his position at an absolutely elite level. So he's gotten off to an incredible start. Obviously, he's not going to finish the season with a 1.73 ERA, which I think he has right now. But this feels like something that I think the success is relatively sustainable. He's locating his sinker to perfection right now, and he's playing his curveball off it great, changeup off it as well. And that changeup, oh, it is nasty. Just a devastating pitch that, you know, just kind of falls off the table as it, you know, sweeps across the middle of the plate, and just getting a ton of swings and misses on that. There's no reason why Ranger can't potentially be an all-star and be under consideration for the all-star team come, you know, June, July, if he continues to throw the ball this way. And I think Larry Anderson brought this up during the radio broadcast the other night, but he is truly a pitcher's pitcher, if that makes sense. He's not a guy that's going to kill you purely based on velocity. He's not going to force-seam you to death, but he knows how to stay out of the middle of the plate. He knows how to pitch to soft contact. He knows how to induce double plays. And I just feel supremely confident every time he's on the mound. And there's very few athletes in Philadelphia in any sport, I think, right now that are more fun to watch than Ranger Suarez. I just brought up Larry on the radio broadcast, but Scott Fransky as well. It was really funny. There was one ball, I think it was very early on in the game, that he fielded. And it was just the typical Ranger nonchalant, you know, pick the ball up. And he says, Ranger fields it, looks around Citizens Bank Park and observes the crowd and then throws it to first base. It truly feels like that's what he does every time. And he is just the coolest customer you'll ever see out on a professional baseball field. And he's awesome, man. He is just an awesome, awesome dude to watch. And he's kind of in that category for me. It's like Tyrese Maxey, Devontae Smith, Ranger Suarez. It's guys who it doesn't matter if he just gave up a three-run home run or if he's gone seven scoreless. He's the same guy out there every single time. His demeanor's the same. He's poised. He's composed. And it's just a really fun thing to watch. And I'm very, very happy that Ranger Suarez is on my baseball team. And he's going to be another guy that just, as the season goes along, I expect him to kind of sustain this early season success. And just very excited about his future and what he's done so far for this baseball team this year. And we talked about it early in the season, but right now, this Phillies rotation is the best, not one of the best in Major League Baseball, which is pretty cool. They're first in ERA, they're first in WHIP, they're second in quality start percentage of 58%, which means guys are, you know, going six or more innings. They're second in wins, they're second in innings pitch per start. And all these guys are just giving the Phillies a chance to win games night in, night out. And you have to be excited about it. The guy who started on Wednesday night, moving on, you know, Wednesday night here, Chris Sanchez, who I thought, I think other than Turnbull, is the guy you'd probably say you least trust in your rotation right now. We'll see what happens with Taijuan Walker once he comes back. But he's the guy who's probably considered their five. He's at a 2.5 ERA right now with one of the nastiest changeups you'll ever see. We'll see what happens again with this rotation once Walker's back. I know he's making rehab starts right now, and he'll find his way likely back into the rotation, and Turnbull probably goes to the bullpen as a long man, especially because of Walker's lack of ability to come out of the pen, which obviously we saw in the postseason last year as well. But this guy just, Chris Sanchez, just gives you a chance to win a game every night. And what he did the other night, going six innings, one run, tying a career high with 10 strikeouts, he's great, man. He's been really, really good so far. All you can ask for a back of the rotation starter. But like Rangers, just getting a ton of ground balls. The changeup, like I said, been awesome. And the 99th percentile in off-speed run value, which is really, really good. The bullpen tried to blow it for him there the other night. Not the best Greg Soto game. He just couldn't locate anything. And I was walking in runs. They almost blew a 7-1 lead. But finally, this offense comes through with some run support, and they're able to get the win and complete the sweep as Alvarado closes it out for him. So good stuff against the Rockies. I'm glad they were able to get the sweep. And well, the starting pitching has been awesome. I got to move, kind of transition here and move along. Bullpen also been really good aside from Soto the other night, who, again, just could not locate anything, man. But this lineup, they're still struggling. There's no doubt about it. And it's tough not to start this conversation with Nick Castellanos right now, who is just, he's without an extra base hit since his homer in game one of the NLCS against the Diamondbacks last postseason. He is the only qualified hitter in baseball who doesn't have an extra base hit right now. And the numbers are bad, and the advanced metrics, they're even worse. So I don't know if it's something he just has to try to work out with his swing or his mechanics, but at some point, you have to think Rob Thompson will sit him because he's just giving you absolutely nothing right now, and it's a lot of the same stuff. He's chasing out of the zone, getting behind in counts. He's just not barreling the baseball at all, and it's getting to the point where you want to try something else. But at the same time, I mean, the only guys that have been worse have been Rojas and Whit Merrifield, so there isn't much you can do right now aside from maybe sitting him for a day and trying the mental reset, just giving him a day to kind of relax and just do anything in order to try to get him back on track here. But I want to get to Johan Rojas, who I just mentioned. I think I'd be surprised, I will say, at this point, if he doesn't get sent down prior to the end of this month. He had a nice double the other night on what I think was probably his best swing and best hit ball of the year so far, which hit the wall out there in left center field. But it just really feels like a lot of the same with him, too. He is not hitting anything hard. No barrels. And while the fielding has been great as always, and he is, again, just a really, really special fielder to watch, and it's some of the best center field defense you could possibly ask for. It's really, really impressive. But I just don't think he's ready, man. And I don't think him going down to AAA for a month to get at-bats would just be the worst thing for either party here. Just hit a break, hit a reset, and then hope that maybe he can just, with the reps he's getting in AAA, figure out a way to kind of come back and use those things that he had success with down at the minor league level to just propel him at the major league level here. So I'd also feel pretty decent about giving Christian Pache a shot to start in center for a little bit here. It would be nice to get Whit Merrifield going as well because, man, he has been bad so far, just bad. Another guy with just no hard contact. He's 3-for-28 to start the year, and his at-bats just feel very non-competitive. It just feels like every time it's either going to be a strikeout or a very weakly hit ball. And I think I'm more surprised about the start that he's gotten off to more than anyone else because he looked really, really good down in spring training in Clearwater. And I know it can be difficult to trust the spring training stats sometimes because he was 7-for-42 down there with two homers and no OPS over 1,100. And, I mean, that's just proving the point right there. But just the complete opposite of what we saw in spring training so far for Whit. And you just hope that he can turn it around at least a little bit offensively. And I will say also, he's not the guy maybe I thought when they signed him. I know that some people were saying, oh, he's, you know, pushing his mid-30s and maybe he's not as fast as he once was, which, again, he is not as fast as he once was. I will say I've seen him get up and down the line. But he's also not really a plus defender either. He can move to multiple spots. Like, he's played third base. He's played left field. He's played second. His versatility isn't the problem, but I just don't know if he's a plus defender at any of those spots as well. So I'm just Whit Merrifield, my antenna's up on him, and I'm just a little nervous that maybe he is pushing his mid-30s and isn't the player that he was, especially in his Kansas City days. So that's where I'm at with Whit, and I just don't see a scenario where he's playing a ton over the next month or so. And we'll see how it all plays out as the season goes along. Maybe if he struggles and if Pache gets an opportunity and doesn't take advantage of it, maybe they do go out and get another bat at the deadline. We will see about that. But one guy who I want to praise a little here and definitely feels like has turned a corner a bit is Trey Turner, especially since that Pittsburgh series after getting off to a somewhat rough start. In the last seven games, he's 12 for 29, two homers, seven runs scored, and it just feels like he's letting the ball get a little bit deeper in his at-bats. He's putting some really good swings in the baseball over the past couple of series. His average up to 329 on the year. OPS plus is at 142. So he's been really productive, and obviously you would take those numbers over a full 162. So would still love it if he was a bit more shorthanded at shortstop, but the Trey production has been good as of late. And with the fielding, I will say, I brought it up on another pod before, I'm going to be interested down the line once Schwarber's gone, once Castellanos gone, those contracts are up. If there's an open spot in left field, I wouldn't be shocked if they try Trey Turner there eventually. I just don't see the shortstop thing working out long term necessarily. And I don't think they want to move Bryson Stott either just because of the gold glove caliber defense that he plays over at second base. And it's been rough for Trey over at short. And we'll see if he improves at all this year. But if not, I would start next year or the year after looking to see if they maybe try to switch him to maybe a corner outfield spot. We'll see how that all plays out. But I just brought up Bryson Stott, and I want to talk about him for a minute because Rob Thompson moves Stott down the lineup about a week and a half ago, switches him with Brandon Marsh, who has continued to be just awesome for this team, by the way. Really, really good offensive start of the year or to the year for Brandon Marsh so far. He's an OPS at around 850 right now, just hitting righties and lefties, getting a chance to play pretty much every day, which is what everybody wanted, which is just... Please keep doing that, Rob Thompson. Put him in the lineup every day. He's just hitting it too well right now. And Stott, getting back to him, he's just start hitting some balls hard. He's not striking out, which is on brand for him. But the exit velo just isn't there for him right now. And I wonder, maybe it is something to do with the lack of protection in his spot right now. He's between Castellanos and Rojas, which can't be the easiest thing. And I'm sure he's getting a lot of tough matchups there. But I'm not sure that's definitely it. But he's certainly off to a slow start, and a much slower start than last year, to where he was, had that hit streak, and Rob Thompson was forced to kind of put him in the leadoff spot before they ended up going back to Schwarber. But I think he's gonna pick it up. But he's definitely not been as much of a contributor, at least offensively, in terms of his production that we expected. A lot of people, including myself, were kind of thinking this could be a batting title type of year for Bryson Stott with the leap he took last year. If he could take another big leap, then he could be a really, really special player in terms of hitting for a high average and putting a lot of balls in play. And it hasn't been that so far. So looking for some more production out of Bryson Stott. I would love to be able to move him back in the lineup eventually. But I agreed with Rob Thompson moving him down. And I think he'll pick it up, but just a matter of him finding his swing and hitting some balls hard and getting some barrels on the baseball. So we'll monitor that. But Kyle Schwarber. We're move on to Schwarber for a second. I think he's been good. He had a good night on Wednesday, had the two homers, obviously. And then I think it was on Sunday. He got on five times against the Pirates, against the lefty. Cool nugget. First Philly to do that as a left-handed hitter since Richie Ashburn did it against Sandy Koufax. I think it was sometime in like the 1950s. I thought it was a really cool little stat there. He's hitting the ball hard. He's getting on base at a solid rate. And I don't really have any problem with what I've seen from Schwarber so far. I think he's going to even get on base even more. The rate he's doing at right now is fine, but I think he got on base at an even higher clip last year in terms of percentages. So he's been good. Similar to JT, who I actually think has really done a nice job out of the four hole so far and has hit the ball hard and has done everything they've asked him to do. He stayed out of double plays. So good stuff from JT so far. Boom. He's been fine. I kind of just think he is what he is offensively at this point. Now, if you've listened to me before, this is kind of my take on Boom. I'm not sure there's just much more you can expect out of him in terms of his production at the plate and what you're going to see over a full 162. He's going to hit probably around 20 homers. You hope he is an OPS around 800. He'll hit for doubles. He'll get his RBIs. But just in terms of the power and the slug, I'm not sure it's ever going to be what maybe we thought we'd get out of Alec Bohm. We drafted him number 3 overall. So he's going to have his moments, but just not exactly sure how high the ceiling gets for Bohm. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see how it all plays out as the season rolls along. Bryce. It's been an interesting year for Bryce so far, especially Bryce at the plate. He's had his struggles to begin the year, and then you have the 3-homer game, and then he just kind of falls back into the slump a little bit. But it feels like he's always been hitting the ball hard and putting it in play. The batting average on balls in play luck has been really, really bad. So I trusted that the results were going to come soon. And over the last couple of games, it's good to see him kind of get those results and see him, you know, hit some balls hard and have them fall or, you know, leave the park for homers. He had some really good at-bats, especially in the game on Tuesday night. And the at-bat where he hit the home run to make it 5-0, you could just tell he was seeing the ball really, really good in that at-bat. And I'll never doubt that he's going to find a way to turn it on, but it feels like with how he's starting to turn here, we could be in store for a big Bryce run coming up. Weather getting warmer, ball's going to travel. As long as he's hitting balls hard and getting barrels on them, I trust that he's going to be able to get his 30 to 35 homers, 100-plus RBIs, maybe, you know, WRC-plus, anywhere from like 150 to 160 would be great. And I just trust him offensively. But, man, how good has he been at first base? He has not only been good, but I don't even think this is an exaggeration. He's been elite gold glove defender type good so far this year. He's 3 outs above average to start the season, which puts him in the 98th percentile among all fielders. And 3 defensive runs saved in a small sample size as well is a good accomplishment for him for sure. And he's just such a good athlete. And watching him and honestly the rest of the team play defense now has been great. And it's light years better than what we've been accustomed to over the past few years with this baseball team. And it feels like they've come a long way from the 2018 Phils, where you had Rhys Hoskins in left field and 5 different first basemen on the roster. So all good stuff there. I really think that they're a great fielding baseball team, which is something we haven't been able to say about a lot of Phillies teams. So great, great stuff in the field. And before I get out of here, I just want to say that I think that this weekend they really have to. I usually say that they have to take 2 or 3, just win series. You got to make a statement and sweep this White Sox team. Boy, are they terrible. You got, you know, Eloy Jimenez hurt. You got Luis Robert hurt. You got pretty much Yoan Moncada as well. All of their big name bats are all injured, man, and they just have nothing in terms of talent on that roster. So really got to take advantage. Just sweep the White Sox, man. And yeah, so that is going to do it for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And it's been really great to just, you know, do these pods and react to the regular season as it's been going on. So stay tuned next week. I'll be back next Friday, as always, to break down the Phils and what's going on and what's ahead for them. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. And thank you again for listening to another edition of Phillies Today. See ya.